From Rochester, New York, this is Mad Dog Movies.
Episode 5.
Greetings, this is Mike Boas. I'm an animator, and I run this joint, and with me now are John Vincent.
Hello.
He's another filmmaker and all-around great guy, and with us today is Matt Ellers.
Greetings.
Hello, Matt. Matt, you have been doing shorts, and you've got a feature under your belt. You've been working in Rochester, and where else? You've been to New York and California. Where have you been?
I went to college in California. I spent a lot of time in New York City, and recently I did some work with a British company called Made Up North Productions in Manchester. So,
cool.
Have Suitcase will work wherever.
And since most of most of what I've seen from you has been shorts, I suppose that may have influenced how you wrote Smoking Laws as a sort of series of vignettes. Did that have anything to do with how that came about?
Well, I think Smoking Laws was an ass backwards way to make a feature. It all revolves around the theme of hardcore smokers stuck outside of their favorite bar on the coldest night of the year, and it's something I'm familiar with. I used to smoke. The only thing that ties people together in that instance is the love of the nicotine. And I just put together a large number of skits surrounding that, and slowly the characters kind of interact and crisscross. It's similar to, you know, films like Slacker, in that it's kind of these small slices of life. And I had all these scenes in my head and I wanted to get them out. And so it was the film I could make. So I made it.
Well, it must have appealed you to do it in, you know, in a non-traditional. I think you mentioned to me earlier about you don't have a single protagonist, a single plot. You have a lot of little things. Did that appeal to you that, hey, I can do this indie and no one, like, you'd never get a studio to pay you to do a movie quite like that?
No, and it's kind of one of those things where if the stakes are low in that, you know, everybody was nice enough to volunteer their time and efforts, that. And we didn't have any name stars and didn't have a need for spending tons of money, that it was going to be an experiment, and that's what we put together. So,
well, let me ask you this. How do you get a lot? You had a lot of people helping you out on the film. You had experienced people and non-experienced people. How does one go about gathering around those people to be able to do that for virtually little or no pay?
Well, I think you have to be realistic with people. You have to tell them, well, you know, this is what I want to do, and you don't promise the world. You don't tell them that it's going to be, you know, it's going to sell, you know, like Napoleon Dynamite, and it's going to be the best ever. I think you just say, you know what, this is what we're doing. We're hanging out. There's food, there's beer, and there's filmmaking. And what I find is that if you know a lot of people who work in more corporate industrial disciplines, that sometimes they're itching to just pick up a camera and have some fun, because if it becomes, you know, if it turns into work only, mm-hmm. then you have a tendency to be very bitter about the whole filmmaking process. So,
which and, many people have come to.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's take a listen to, we have the audio from the trailer, and what we'll do is we'll stick that in here and pretend like we're listening to it, and then we'll come back from it.
The whole world is turning into a big non-smoking section. It happened in my place. So smoke them if you got them, but get your ass outside. You're about to meet the not-so-silent victims of these smoking laws.
Jeremy, you're fired. Two more customers found hairs in their coffees.
These are the hairs, Jeremy. Look familiar?
You know, those are your hairs.
And I know, but not from your head.
Take the bag with you, Jeremy.
I should have changed my name to Capri or something. You know, you gotta have one name like Cher or Elvis. I'm Brenda. I mean, you don't go to art galleries for a Brenda. You go to Weight Watchers with Brenda.
I do go to Weight Watchers with Brenda.
Ah, well, there you go.
You know what? The second those guys open their mouth, that's aggressive to me. And I'll smack them down.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
I worry about you a little bit when you have to interact with people.
You think I wouldn't hit a girl? You think I wouldn't kick you in the taco?
That's nice.
You're gonna call back.
Hand it over.
No.
Yes.
No.
Give.
I'm not
Give.
Giving you my cell
Give.
Phone.
Give.
I'm not gonna use it.
Hi. I just called to see what was up.
I'm not drunk. I had like a tooth or something.
I'm actually on a date.
The other day I'm in Walmart, and I'm thinking, in a couple of years, there's going to be a lot of crappy garage sales.
And we're back.
You can see that trailer at smokinglawsmovie.com, or a link will eventually find its way to eggwork.com, which is E-G-G-W-O-R-K, and that's where you can see my shorts as well. So that is my shameless plug.
Well, it's not shameless. We had you on the show because we wanted to hear more about it. We wanted to,
no shame in my game, baby.
We want to help promote the thing, but...
Well, we have a film festival coming up. It's the High Falls Film Festival, and that's at the end of April in Rochester.
Yep.
And don't have the specific time and dates. And we hope to have, you know, a four-walling situation, which is when you rent a facility and show the film. Look for that in the coming months. I mean, I would like to four-wall in other cities. Wow. New York, Boston, you know, I mean, and we're hopefully going to have DVDs ready in the next couple of months.
What's your next project? What are you planning to do after you finish up with Smoking Laws and some these other smaller things?
Well, we're looking to finish a series of webisodes that, John, you were instrumental on in creating the main characters. It's a show called Cappers that we're doing for Comedy Central. It's about bottle cap openers who open bottles with their mouths and kind of communicate via ESP to each other. And the gag is that, you know, when they open a bottle, it really hurts them. So they kind of, you know, have their, you know, their typical day at the bar, and then they're talking about, so, you know, this is a linoleum siding. It's pretty cool, right? You don't have to paint it or anything. Oh, excuse me. So where can I get my hands on this stuff? I mean, it's, you know, and, you know, and Comedy Central putting up the money to make it is kind of the path I want to take, because previously, if you go to the website and see the shorts, particularly the ones that got in Sundance, that was kind of a long process where you'd make the film, you know, another 6 months, you take it to festivals, another 6 months go by, and you could not see a dime from your work for like years. You know, we had the good fortune of having our films purchased by Sundance Channel, HBO, Comedy Central, yet, you know, you're really not, you're not making that much money off of shorts. And that you know, the features seem to be the way to see a return on your money.
Now, what's it like shooting in a town like Rochester, shooting a feature or anything as compared to a larger city? I mean, why shoot in Rochester as opposed to New York or L.A. or Austin or one of the larger cities? What advantage, if there is any, do you have to that?
Well, I think there's advantages and disadvantages. I mean, you're probably not going to get named stars to come out to a remote location. And for some celebrities, obviously, remote is anything, you know, within 10 miles of the city limits of Manhattan or West Hollywood or whatever. You know, the advantages are that you can probably find a crew that's a little less jaded and interested in doing stuff that's not necessarily, you know, the typical 9-to-5, more corporate industrial stuff. You know, and there's also kind of like that isolation factor where, you know, I make my films and they seem to be selling on a world market, yet, you know, I don't have to pay $1,800 a month in rent to get by.
Right.
So I don't have to work 50 hours a week to pay rent in a town where I'm supposed to be to make films, you know, it's like, well, you get my point. You know?
Yeah, and the world's much smaller now with the internet and cell phones and all that stuff, like you were saying before.
Yeah, yeah, and there's, you know, hopefully going to be more distribution methods in the future. I know Netflix, iTunes, things of this nature. I don't think it's really broken the way it could. I think you still have the control of like the seven multimedia giants. Thank you, Telecommunications Act of 1996. You know, pretty much dominating. I mean, you ask yourself, when was the last time you got online and said, I am going to buy a film from a completely independent person, not like getting Napoleon Dynamite on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
That's just giving money to, you know, Rupert Murdoch or some other schmuck, you know. It's just, what do you do to keep the independent film movement going? Is, you know, some people think that going to an art house theater and seeing, you know, a major star doing his independent film is supporting independent filmmaking. It's not. It's like if you go to a local show and a local band is playing, you buy their CD. That's a direct support of independent, you know, art.
I can think of a couple examples of, well, some of the people from Mystery Science Theater are now doing their own. They're doing a new version of it called Cinematic Titanic, and you can go to their site and you pay and you download a file and you burn it to your own DVD. But they have a following already. People already know who they are. And even that might not be enough, you know, to actually make a living at. They probably all have other jobs.
Yeah, I think that's most likely. I don't know if you want to read this email.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're talking distribution here. I got an email from Aaron Vanek. He directed a movie called The Yellow Sign.
Vanek!
Yeah, I saw that just coming around the corner on the street the other minute.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a different yellow sign. This is like a Lovecraft movie.
We all live in a yellow sign.
And Vanek says to me, hey, putting a podcast on iTunes, do you get any money for this? Is there any way to make money distributing a short film on iTunes? He's got a few shorts and he's put them on YouTube and places for free. But he's like, oh, wow, if I could get it into iTunes and people pay a buck, you know, that would be cool.
Well, currently Apple kind of has a tight lid on what they put on iTunes. I know one short film distributor is on there, as well as Sundance, which puts all their shorts on there. I thought that was a great move on their behalf. And I don't know, it's not like Amazon where you can track how many of these are selling. I don't know the distribution, how much iTunes keeps, how much the filmmaker keeps. I think it's there's so much content out there. I mean, you can watch literally hundreds of thousands of hours of video for free on the web. It's kind of, you know, it's a tough sell to have someone buy, you know, 5 minutes of content when everything else is for free. I mean, the distribution model that I think works better is what Adam Films has, which I have, I think, four shorts up there. Mm-hmm. And again, you can go to eggwork.com and link to them and check them out. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, every time someone screens that, do you get something for that?
Well, you get a percentage of the ad revenue coming in.
So if you're getting thousands of hits, you get more percentage. Well, you get the same percentage, but it's more money.
Yeah, yeah. And the other way, you know, you can see the shorts is on DVD. They'll come with the feature Smoking Laws. So that's my main push is trying to build an audience with movies you can see for free on the web. I mean, eventually the trailer and about a third of the feature will wind up on the web in one way or another for free, because you know, it seems like the web, the nature of it is everything kind of trickles down to what can I look at for free. You know, I mean, I can't remember the last time I put a credit card down and you know, bought something other than music, or
you got to support your fellow man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm broke. I know. Yeah, we're filmmakers. We have no money. I do have a specific question related to an email we had a couple of weeks ago, asking about music rights. Somebody, there's a song that this person liked. I think it was a Nine Inch Nails song.
Yep.
And they want to use it for their short. And we gave him a brief description of what the little that we knew about it. And I know you've had experience with music and music rights and even stuff that you buy that it doesn't really work out that way. Maybe you can go into a little bit about that.
Well, music rights are a hairy beast that I would avoid completely, and do not believe the urban myth that, well, you can put on 10 seconds of a song that is such a load of crap. I mean, basically with music, you have two rights that you need to acquire. One is the publishing, the author of the tune, you know, Jay Lennon, P. McCartney. And the second is the recording rights. So, I mean, if you can get the publishing rights for a song and have your brother record it, then yeah, you can do that, but you need the two sets of rights, and then, you know, ideally you want them in perpetuity so that forevermore this song is linked with this movie. Sometimes you'll see a movie on TBS or Spike or whatever it is now, and wait a minute, I don't remember that song being in that movie. It's because, like, the rights ran out.
Yeah, we talked about that in our last podcast.
Yeah, you got to get it for television and for DVD and video and, you know, all the
all mediums, you know, the holodeck version of Dances with Wolves, you know, like
I see
reach out and touch Cosner's sheepskin belt or whatever, you know, I don't know. But
yet another fantasy comes into play.
I would find local musicians and have them create music that's like, okay, here's the song that I like, do something similar, you know.
Right.
Because these musicians, they get requests all the time, and it's their livelihood. They're looking to sell their songs in a commercial or something for top dollar.
Now, what about this so-called royalty-free music?
You got to watch that, because royalty-free, you know, look at the fine print. I don't know, some of these sites say they have royalty-free music, and then you look at the fine print, you're not allowed to broadcast it. You're not allowed to put it on, you know, the web or something like that. It's just a joke.
It's like royalty free to, I don't know, play for your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. You got to read the words.
And you know, you would be shocked at, like, songs written 70 years ago still have a copyright attached to them. They changed it. It used to be 50 years. Song that's 50 years old becomes the public domain. No, it's now 75 years. And I'm sure it'll go to 100 in a couple of years, because, you know, unless it's like a classical piece of music that you can have someone redo, you know, I would avoid.
Well, you know, Robert Johnson is still trying to collect the money, and he's been.
He should, damn it.
Well, classical is an interesting point, because, yeah, you know, Beethoven's, you know, public domain, but not the recordings of it. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The performance isn't, right? But the music itself is. Yeah. Now, that's what I was running. Now, for instance, our film, we're going to have a lot of blues music in it.
Right.
And are these old recordings for Robert Johnson that we are going to look into possibly using some of those. And those are well over 75 years.
You know, it'd be a good indication of that is the Robert Johnson, you know, is it just one publisher that's putting out those CDs?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Do I find an original record that was made way back then, before the 75 years?
Even then, though, a descendant of Robert Johnson might have copyrighted those songs.
Not to get in great detail about this, but a lot of the songs are old songs that he happened to record.
Right.
But, not all of them, these old blues singers, you know, like Lead Belly and these guys, not everything was their own material. So I don't know how that works. But
hey, getting back to Mr. Vanek and his question.
Mr. Vanek, I should
Vanek, Vanek.
Vanek! Dun, dun,
dun, dun. You know what? Everybody has like their own path in terms of how they make their film or get it distributed. And my path is going to be different than the next person. And you know, so there is gray matter in all of this. In that, you know, what I find is people will always convince you that, oh, okay, here's how you become a big success. Do a parody or do a short film or do a spec commercial or whatever. And to me, it seems like every time someone achieves success, that door immediately closes behind them for the next person. So, I mean, I don't take my advice for it. You know, put your films on YouTube and get a following. You know, although YouTube, you lose your rights to your film when you put it on YouTube. No one talks about
it's
that.
It's a non-exclusive, though. I mean,
yeah,
theoretically,
but, yeah.
You're not, you know, and if you want to take it down, then your agreement with YouTube ends.
Yeah.
I know of another animator who he did a music video for Weird Al. So I assume he was paid by Weird Al or his publisher. And then this 12-minute cartoon, it's a long song, did get distributed through iTunes as, you know, pay for it, buy it, download it. And I don't know, I wrote to him, but I didn't get a response. This is DougTunes is the name of his site. Anyway, I wanted to know, who put that, you know, because it was Weird Al, because he had a record label, it was probably them that were doing the sale.
Yeah.
And then he'd get a percentage or he'd get a flat fee.
Well, you hope you get a percentage. I mean, you gotta negotiate for back end. You know,
but that was a short that I actually did pay, I don't know, $4 for and downloaded through iTunes.
There you go.
Better man than me.
Well, that's the tough part. I mean, like, you know, you can BitTorrent that for nothing or whatever. And it's just,
I was like, I want to pay
again.
I like it. I want to pay.
If it's free, it's for me. I mean, that seems to be the way of the internet, you know?
Well, I want to thank you, Matt, for coming by, being our guinea pig, being our first guest on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. And again, it's hard for me to kind of like give advice, because I always hear myself and I hear like the voices of people who in the past have been like, I'll tell you what, son, I think everybody's level of success is their own, and I believe firmly that like doing is better than talking about it. Mm-hmm. That learning software is key. Mm-hmm. Like when I talk to younger people about making films, I ask them, well, do you know Final Cut Pro? No. Do you know Photoshop or Flash or After Effects? I mean, these are like the basic tools that every, you know, if you want to make films, you should know. And then the rest is just personality, just being a nice person. And you know, I don't think I've ever had, maybe a few exceptions, ever had someone say after making a film, like, that was a terrible experience. I never want to make another film with you again.
Yeah, I haven't had that experience working on my stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps wanting to come back asking, hey, when are you going to do your next project?
But how many times have you been on the set of a spec project where no one's getting paid, where everybody's pissed? And
oh, yeah.
That's the last time I do that.
Yeah, the last thing you want to be is an asshole if you're not paying anybody.
A-hole.
Well, none of us are experts, but I think we have a certain amount of experience that, and you guys more than me, where people, you know, when they ask you questions, you actually know the answers.
Oh, absolutely.
And I find that more and more. It's fun to dole out some advice.
Yeah, and there's pie in the sky, like, hopes of being, you know, Mr. Big Shot. I would suggest, hey, become an agent. You know, don't be a filmmaker.
Well, I mean, with me, I just want to make films and make a living.
Yeah, exactly.
If something else bigger happens, great. But I want to make a living. I want to make my films, be able to, you know,
well, there's plenty
pay
of people,
for my family to survive. And
there's plenty of people who are going to say, oh, you make films? Anything I've seen? And it's like the answer most times is no, probably not. But you can see my film. Just go to eggwork.com.
People have seen this because I've worked on, I don't know, a good 2 or 3 dozen feature films. And
did you
quite
see
frankly,
the refrigerator?
Not many of them are very good. So, oh, I've seen that. And then they roll their eyes. <You know? laughs> So.
Yeah, I mean, you can push a broom on the set of Kathy and Regis and be considered more of a success than someone who's
are you reading off my
making
resume?
Their own product, you know. And
Matt, thanks a lot. I think next time you're here, we'll talk about your career as a stripper.
Yes.
I'm dying to hear about that.
Yes, that's
I've got some dollar bills for you.
I was a stripper for 5 years just to, you know, write a book about it. And no, that's crap. That's so crap. That's cheap. That's so cheap.
Yeah, you can edit, turn it
edit
into
that
a screenplay
out.
And
edit that
an
out. Damn it! It's a deal breaker, boys.
All right. Well, thanks again, Matt, and hopefully we'll have you back on, and we'll get some emails popping in, and have you hopefully answer some questions for us.
Yes. Email the jerk who was the first guest and tell him he's wrong, wrong, wrong.
For our audience, if you would like to see show notes and some links to Matt's stuff, you can go to maddogmovies.com/podcast, which is where we'll have the show notes. Of course, Matt's site.
If you're Mad Dog, what does that make you, John?
Yeah. Someone tell me, for God's sakes.
It's Mad Dog. We're going to get back to the music now. It's OD.
All right. Bing bong. 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock.
How about that Spitzer? Whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sex, money, and politics. What a mix.
I feel like I'm being mocked. But thanks a lot, and until next time.
Wait till we get Fred Armstrong on the show.
Goodbye, everybody.
Fred Armstrong.
And we are stopped.
Music for this episode provided by Keith Handy. Visit him at keithhandy.com.